Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley. Once again, brought to you by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republican, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And once again, this is the year we make freedom a reality, and we literally have that opportunity. Right now, your ballots have been mailed to you, and the election is coming up on November 8th. Get your friends and family, everybody you know, get out to vote. The largest voting bloc in America is Christians. The largest voting bloc in America not registered to vote is Christians. And the largest voting bloc in America that is registered to vote that doesn't vote is Christians. It's our fault. It's our fault if we don't get out there and show up. And we need to use discernment, too. Pray about who you're supposed to vote for. Now, I do have some recommendations up online at www.voteshea.com. I have some of those up there, and hopefully it helps some of you out, and that you can take that and you spread the word. And I try to explain not only kind of the basic principles and give kind of a basic summary of not only candidates but ballot measures, but also I like to put in there kind of the behind-the-scenes details, a little, you know, the things that people miss or maybe they just don't know about because they haven't talked to these people behind the scenes or they don't know what the real reason is behind, you know, the initiative or the ballot measure. You know, one of those that strikes me that way is this ballot measure that's supposed to be protecting against identity theft for elderly people. All that is really about is trying to prevent communication with government union members, telling them that they don't have to pay their union dues. They can actually opt out. And it's been so effective. Millions of dollars have been taken away from the unions that they used to use for liberal political causes. They did this initiative. So this is kind of one example. And I try to give that in there. Again, voteshea.com, go to solutions, and you can check out my recommendations there. But those are recommendations. Pray about them as well. You know, you got to go where the Lord leads you, and nobody should get in the way of that. And once again, our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. We need to keep that at the forefront, too, as we're voting. But it can't just simply... I met somebody the other day who doesn't normally vote, but they pray. And I said, but you got to move from the prayer, you got to move to the action. You have a duty to make sure that you take the cover off the lampstand and the light of Christ is shining into every area. That's what's important. And I really don't think we get that picture. I mean, God used this picture of a lampstand, shining light, and then a cover being put over it. Our job is to make sure the light's shining, that Christ's light is shining through us to the rest of the world. And one of the ways that can happen is actually through politics. There was an OSS report. Many of you have heard me say this before. It's Office of Strategic Services, the precursor to the CIA. They did a report after World War II on the persecution of the Christian church in Nazi Germany. They wanted to answer this question. How could the Holocaust, how could all of these horrible things actually happen? And tyranny rise up in Germany in an ostensibly Christian country? And they came to this conclusion, that Christians were deprived of their ability to live out their faith beyond the four walls of the church. You know, when it says, preach the gospel unto all nations, make disciples of all nations. I mean, those are very specific words in Greek. All means all. And I don't think people see politics maybe as a ministry. And I would say, in some respects, is the darkest ministry field out there. In fact, I think we've forgotten about it. And one of the ways that we can do this is by voting, by showing up, by participating, by running for office, if the Lord leads you to do that. And so, you know, when I talk about Jeremiah 6:16 and standing at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, walk in it and you'll find rest for your souls. The good way, the ancient path, hasn't changed. It's still there. And that is to be that light to the rest of the world. And again, one of those ways to do it is through politics. Well, now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front, Deutsche Bank, again, still in trouble. This kind of went off the radar screen for a little bit, but Deutsche Bank, their connectivity to the rest of the banks of the world is fairly amazing. Most of the large banks of the world are leveraged in some way, shape, or form with Deutsche Bank. And it appears that the German government is not going to do any sort of a bailout if they continue to lose value as a bank. And again, one of the dominoes we need to be looking at is if Deutsche Bank goes, I mean, that will be a full-on crisis. In 2008, you know, we're looking for certain things like Lehman Brothers. This is the one to look for in 2016. Also on the international front, and this is a really kind of a good story. I've been talking about Viktor Orban. He's the leader of Hungary right now. Well, he came out and literally at the commemoration of the 1956 anti-communist rising in Hungary. Now, 1956, a lot of people don't remember that. Horribly put down by the Soviets. But he came out in celebration of that anti-communist rising, gave a speech. And in that speech, he defended, and this is key. Now, this is why I keep saying this election is about globalism versus nationalism, and I choose America and American sovereignty first. Viktor Orban is choosing Hungarian sovereignty first, and he comes out in defense of the nation state and national sovereignty, and that his country must stand up to Europe's Sovietization. That's the word that he used. That even now today, though, it's taking this different form of the European Union. He called it Sovietization, and that's actually correct. It is a socialist plan to bring all these countries together. And anybody that supports so-called free trade agreements, and I want to be really clear on this part of it. This is probably going to anger a couple people out there, but you don't realize the history of free trade. The history of free trade goes all the way back to Karl Marx. And the idea that free trade was a way to break down barriers and borders in order to spread communism. And that's a historical fact. You can go take a look at some of the quotes from these guys and go read it for yourself. But the fact of the matter is that free trade, these so-called free trade, are just the precursor, and there are quote after quote after quote from the guys that are defending these free trade agreements that say these are setting up a superstructure of international government. It's a little piece at a time. And so Viktor Orban is saying, hey, look, we like the nation state. We don't want to be Sovietized. That was tried. It failed miserably. It's horrible. We don't want it. And it's interesting here again, Poland comes up. Because the Polish people stand in support of Hungary as well, and so does their leadership. And remember I mentioned that the Polish had the rise of this militia in Poland, huge numbers of militia in Poland as a geostrategic deterrent against Russia. The Polish president said at this commemoration that Orban is speaking at, quote, you can count on Poland. We march together in the toughest moments. Two countries were built on Christian foundations and are now free. My goodness. He adds in the unified Europe, but I think they were trying to say we get to get out of it. But he says, built on Christian foundations. And so this resurgence of Christianity in Hungary and Poland is bringing with it a rebirth of freedom. And that is the key point. We repent. We have a rebirth of Christianity here in America. We will have a rebirth of freedom. And the idea that national sovereignty is actually a good thing, that there are good reasons that America should remain America and continue to be the largest supplier of missionaries and supplies and donations to the entire world. So I love this. Poland and Hungary standing together against the New World Order. We're going to continue talking about this in the weeks to come. And I just would call your attention to it. And if you haven't looked into that, you need to. There is really something going on over there in the former Soviet bloc. Also on the international front, the Russians continue their assault on Aleppo. Now, we talked about the warships passing through the English Channel. Russian warships headed down there to finish the battle in Aleppo. And the reason they want to do that is because the battle in Mosul in Iraq has started, and many ISIS fighters now are fleeing. Now, there was 3 weeks ago an allegation from the Russians that there was a deal cut by the U.S. and ISIS to allow those fighters to flee so that they could go fight in Aleppo. Apparently, there are some that are at least fleeing and heading across the border toward Aleppo. So I don't, you know, again, we don't know. But it appears that the Russians are racing these warships down there to end the battle before the reinforcements of ISIS get into the battle for Aleppo. Very, very interesting. Now, on a separate side note, ISIS did get kicked out of Dabiq, Syria. Took less than 24 hours to take it over. Huge prophetic implications for them because their magazine was called Dabiq. They said there was going to be this huge prophetic last battle and they were going to defeat the Romans, which apparently the United States is the newest incarnation of the Romans, according to them. Less than 24 hours, boom, they fold. And then they hadn't changed they actually changed the name of their magazine from Dabiq because the central position of their prophecy was suddenly shattered. Also, as part of the realignment that we're seeing in the world, and that is what we are seeing in the world right now, you are seeing a realignment of countries now based on the new realities of the United States and the Soviet Union. Oh, I'm sorry, former Soviet Union. But it does seem like they're kind of resurging, doesn't it? Interesting. But we see now the Philippines aligning, and their leader Duterte, aligning with China. So again, we have, it's not just in the Middle East, we have a realignment taking place all over the world. And now the Philippines aligning with China, and it should stun everybody, especially when we talk about free trade, because this Trans-Pacific Partnership, and I heard this the other night, it was a great saying, there cannot be free trade if government's involved, okay? That makes sense. I think it was Art Thompson that said it was great. I love it. One sentence. Boom. But some of these trade deals are putting the U.S. at a significant disadvantage to make China, intentionally set China up to be the leader in the Pacific Rim. And they disadvantage U.S. trade. And I hear some local business folks constantly beating the drum of, we need trade, we need trade. Yes, we need trade. Nobody is against trade, but it isn't free trade. It's trade agreements setting up a superstructure for an international government. And also, it's so-called free trade that is going to send more of our jobs overseas. And I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of these guys defending it. It is not American. It is un-American to support agreements that are ceding our national sovereignty and tossing our jobs overseas. NAFTA was supposed to bring jobs to the United States, was supposed to alleviate poverty, had all these laudable goals, and none of those goals were met except one. It did increase the ties between Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. And really, we need to look at these things and be very skeptical that more government involvement in something, trade, is going to actually end up being a good thing. It's going to hurt our cattle producers with Brazilian beef. It's going to hurt our farmers who are already really having a hard time, especially with wheat prices and some of the other commodity prices. It's going to disadvantage our timber industry, the very little that's left of it. And here these guys are defending it. And they always come up and they don't attack or talk about the agreement. They just say, we need trade and you guys must be against trade and business. That's just a lie. My uncle owns one of the largest manufacturing facilities in Spokane Valley. Nobody's against business. We're just against you guys sending jobs overseas and ceding U.S. authority to these ultranational organizations. That's un-American. And very candidly, anybody that is trying to usurp the Constitution or support the usurpation of the Constitution, that's treasonous. And we need to just call it out as it is. And if you think socialism in, you know, policy in the U.S. is a good thing, And then now it's going to be a good thing in international trade. I want to call your attention to Venezuela. Because that collapse in Venezuela that is happening and has been happening over the last few months is now getting horrific. You have infant mortality shooting through the roof, mothers dying during childbirth, those deaths and the amount shooting through the roof. You've got 1 in 6 people in Venezuela eating out of garbage cans. You've got massive continued violence, retribution, huge and wide-scale poverty in one of the most resource-rich countries in the entire world. And then on, to add insult to injury on top of all of that, you literally have prisons who can't afford to feed prisoners, and they're resorting to cannibalism. And the article that I posted on my Facebook page, it's horrific. They're literally picking a few prisoners out to kill, hang up like a deer, and bleed out, and then eat. And I'm sorry to be so graphic, but the description should show you the horrors of socialism. And now we want it in our trade systems? That's insanity. And eventually, all socialist systems go through that. Happened in the former Soviet Union, happened in Vietnam, happened in Cambodia. They go through this. And it always ends in horrific bloodshed. In fact, there's a reason their color is red. On the national front, the CDC is trying to block the whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson, from testifying before Congress. Now, here is the interesting part. Now, there was a study done. A lot of people come out and they try to defend this study that there was no link between autism and the MMR. That's the mumps, measles, rubella virus or vaccine. But it was a live attenuated virus, and that there was no connection between autism and MMR. When in fact, the data actually had been intentionally altered and Dr. Thompson blew the whistle on it. That there was, in fact, some cases 700%. Increased risk of autism. And that was just comparing vaccinated children against vaccinated children. That did not include a comparison of vaccinated children against unvaccinated children, which many believe, and rightfully so, that percentage would be significantly higher. So the CDC is trying to block this whistleblower. These are the kind of things you look for in politics. Media is not talking about it. Probably going to start attacking Dr. Thompson and his reputation. You know, this is what they do. Make stuff up about him, contrive crises, all this kind of stuff. And try and get you to turn your head away from the truth that you have a whistleblower now that's saying, yes, there was a link and is a link between autism and the MMR vaccine. I am working on getting him to come testify here in Washington State. Before one of our House committees, and I will continue updating you on where we're at with that. Also on the national front, voter fraud. I'm just going to come out with a name. Rob McKenna came out on the radio the other day and said that there is no evidence of voter fraud, and I cannot disagree more. There is case after case, at least 24 states with specific documented instances of voter fraud. And then just the ones that we know about here where you have voter rolls where people that are on there that shouldn't be on there. And, you know, Clarence Thomas came out, I think it was today or yesterday, and said that we are destroying our institutions, that there's a huge lack of trust in government. And this is one of the reasons why. There is clearly a problem, so don't say there's not a problem. There's clearly a problem. It's well documented. The hacks of voting machines can happen. Now, it can't happen through an internet, or you can't do it on like a wide scale because we have 50 separate voting systems for each state, and then we have the county voting systems below that. But there can be memory think of it like a thumb drive. You can still infect it physically there at the machine. So it's not like these things are foolproof even when there is no connection to the internet. So, and then when there is connection to the internet, obviously there is, and that's very well documented, especially in South America. So this idea that there is no voter fraud going on. Just it's ridiculous. So let's admit there's a problem. So what are we going to do about it? And stop eroding the trust in our public institutions. Also on the national front, this deal down in California where they were going to try to make soldiers repay the bonuses they had received years before, they got such an outcry, they stepped back and they reversed themselves. They're not going to make those soldiers repay the bonuses. Praise God for that. Finally. And I just got breaking news. This is breaking news on Patriot Radio right now. It looks like... this is incredible, folks. All right, this is coming out of Oregon. This is coming out of the Mueller trial in Oregon. Now, they just dismissed a juror yesterday for bias because they used to work for the BLM. And the first thing they did when they sat down at the jury deliberations is say, I'm biased. And so they kicked the juror off. Finally, the judge did the right thing. But I am getting word out of the Mueller trial down in Oregon that they were all that they were all acquitted, all found not guilty for all defendants. Oh my goodness, praise God. And everybody out there that's been praying for this, this is an enormous victory for freedom and liberty. I'm just getting this in as we're reading it, and as I get more information, I will confirm it. I've got several sources. In fact, this is just coming into actually my legislative office as well, that everybody is acquitted. Oh my goodness. That is huge news today, folks, breaking on Patriot Radio as we sit here. Praise God. I'm going to try to get Sherry DeVale. I may put off Jesse Young, who's coming on here in a bit. I may try to get Sherry DeVale on here for a couple of words to tell what's going on. And Joe, if you can hear me in the production studio, if you would be able to try to call Sherry DeVale and see if we can get her on the phone right now, because she's down there live in Oregon, I think that would be great, and get some details about what's actually happening. My goodness. Not guilty, all defendants, Mueller, Oregon. That's what I'm getting right now across the wire, and I literally three sources blasted me at one time. Unreal. Oh, my goodness. Wow. And everybody that's been praying, boy, that really gives you kind of hope again, doesn't it, for the country, that good Americans out there on a jury can still make sure that freedom and liberty are defended. Wow, my goodness. All right, I'm going to move on right now while we're trying to get Sherry on the phone, and I'm going to try to contact her as well. She was on here earlier in the week talking about this whole issue, and that the mood was pretty good down there in Mueller, at the Mueller trial down there in Oregon. But my goodness, acquitted on all charges. My goodness. And there's a lot more coming in over the wire right now. But anyway, I'm going to move on. And I will get back to that toward the end here and try and get a hold of Sherry as soon as I possibly can. So I do want to say this is interesting. So I want to go to the government above the law segment on the national front right now. You have the EPA that refused to charge the person that discharged all those things into the river in Colorado. Clearly a violation of the law, refused to charge the person with it. Now you have retired General James Cartwright, guilty for the same crime as Hillary. He actually pled guilty for the same crime as Hillary Clinton with the emails. Total double standard. Then you had the Obama administration come out and say that states could not defund Planned Parenthood. Now, that was an absolute lie. Under Title 10, it actually specifically says that states can defund Planned Parenthood. So this whole, again, this is government acting above the law. Now people are calling them out for it. And this kind of stuff bodes very, very well for the election. People are starting to wake up and say, no, You know, rule of law means the laws apply to everybody, and that includes you, government, and all you bureaucrats. And I know there's a lot of bureaucrats out there that are fed up with the way things are happening and the double standard because they're trying to do the right thing. And just amazing that there's three specific instances right now where rule of law has been at least mitigated or ignored. On the regional front, the Columbia River Treaty, and now they're going after the Snake River Dams. There's going to be meetings throughout all of eastern Washington and north Idaho. And I have that list of meetings up right now on our new Facebook page called Protect Our Water Rights Washington. I just set it up yesterday. We had over, I think, 300 likes in 3 hours or something. It was crazy. A lot of people upset about the Hearst decision. And if you want to get involved that way, go to Protect Our Water Rights Washington and like the page and just follow it. Because we're going to be posting stuff up there. But I have the meetings listed right now up there on the Snake River Dam breach discussions. You can take a look at that. And also we have just some really interesting things as well in regards to meetings that are going to be occurring. Meetings not just on the Snake River Dams are going to be happening. We are also going to be having meetings locally in various counties on the Hearst decision. Now, as I talked about the other day, the Hearst ruling making essentially and practically exempt, permit-exempt wells illegal, or at least impossible to build unless you have $200,000 to do the study. There's a part of this I want to really highlight. There are two things that need to be proven when you're getting water. The first is legal availability, that you're not going to impair senior water rights, and the second is physical availability. Clearly in our area, there is physical availability of water. Legal availability, in virtually every watershed, you could argue that, any new well is going to impair the senior water rights. In other words, the water rights that are already there. That is the problem. And I think what they've done, the Supreme Court of Washington has put it on the counties to make this happen, and the counties are in turn going to put this on the local landowners. I'm a little, you know, the counties need to not just push back. There needs to be a legislative solution too, but the counties don't need to just push back. We all need to push back and say no. You know, Supreme Court can't write law. So the Hearst ruling, again, is going to be something we're going to be dealing with for a very, very long time. And, okay, this is coming across now on Crem2 News. Jury finds 7 defendants not guilty on all counts in the Oregon Wildlife Refuge occupation trial. There it is, confirmed, and just breaking on Patriot Radio. Talking about water rights, land rights here in the West, and here you have a jury saying, nope, the government is wrong. The government has abused people across the Western United States, and the folks that protested against it are not guilty on all counts. And I guess that's vindication. I can't wait to see if we can get a few people here on the phone. Wow. Well, that brings us to the last part, the local front. I posted my recommendations again up online, VoteShea.com, solutions, mass take on elections, and then also reminder that we're going to have an election night celebration out at Center Place, out near the Spokane Valley Mall. A lot of legislators, local elected officials are going to be there. We're also going to have some speakers. And it's going to start at about 6:30. So election night celebration, you're all welcome. Please show up there and help us celebrate victory on election night. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has gone to Patriot Radio's Facebook page. And please go there. Please go there and take a look at not just Patriot Radio, but Protect Our Water Rights Washington, Stop Agenda 21, Freedom Agenda Washington. Take a look at all those. like the pages, share it with your friends and family, but especially Patriot Radio US, so we can continue to spread the word. We just got we got picked up yesterday, actually, to be broadcast over another internet podcast site, and that kind of a terrific expansion of the message of freedom and liberty. So if you want to support the show, you can also go to VoteShea.com, VoteShea.com, and see there not only my recommendations, but where I stand on issues and how you can get involved. A lot of people ask me, what can I do? Here's Sherry. Sherry DeVale has just contacted me on this other, but that's one of the ways we can get involved. And I got to tell you, we had all these patriots down there in Oregon watching right now what's going on and putting the news out. And even when the mainstream media had a complete blackout of that area and that trial, they were putting the news out. They were rallying people to get the truth out. All not guilty, all charges. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And hey, Joe, have we been able to get Sherry on the phone yet or not? It doesn't look like it. All right. Well, I'm going to take a little bit of time to walk through a couple things with the Mueller trial while we're waiting.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, Joe.
No, our phone line's dead.
Wow. On the time that they have a not guilty verdict, all charges, right? The phone lines go out. I wonder
exactly.
If that's coincidence.
Sorry.
No problem. Well, as soon as you get them on, let me know, okay?
Okay.
So, everybody out there listening, I mean, this is an amazing day, okay? An amazing day. All seven defendants, all charges, not guilty at the Mueller trial down in Oregon. Now, there's one thing that came out about this that should shock everybody. Now, we have all these terrorist cells inside the United States of America, literally thousands of terrorist cells in the United States of America. We have ISIS being investigated in 50 states in America right now. We have Ibrahim El-Barassi, who was arrested for filming the superstructure of a bridge back in the Midwest. His house was raided, and in his secret sub-basement, yes, secret sub-basement, they found, this is back in mid-2000s, they found the archives of the Muslim Brotherhood. And that archive down there in that secret sub-basement contained something called the Explanatory Memorandum. And the Explanatory Memorandum listed all the Muslim Brotherhood organizations in the entire United States. And out of that came something called the Holy Land Foundation trial, which was the organization that was running money for the terrorists between the Middle East and the United States. Well, the Council of American Islamic Relations, North American Islamic Trust, were both found, as a matter of fact, in law by a federal district court judge to be unindicted conspirators in this trial and members of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, 2008, President Obama came in, and these trials and these unindicted co-conspirators were not followed up on, so they have never been tried since. We have this actually happening in our country, and yet, bringing this back to Mueller, Oregon, they're spending money on 15 informants, and that doesn't even include the undercover FBI agents that were down here. 15 informants, and there were only seven defendants. Now, a little bit of an outrage going on down there in Oregon right now. And I'm just literally, folks, I am getting this in as we speak. One of the people down there, Mumford, argued with the judge because apparently after the verdict, the judge detained the Bundys for trial in Nevada. Even though, and this is where Mumford argued that, and this is one of the, I think this is one of the attorneys. This is one of the attorneys, oh my goodness. One of the attorneys argued that she had no jurisdiction to hold them any longer. And you know what? He was right. If you're found not guilty, they got to release you right then. There is no more, you don't get detained for continuing trial. I mean, you don't get held in jail forever. So this Mumford argues she doesn't have jurisdiction. And as he's arguing, he was tackled and tased by 8 to 12 marshals. Now, this is the report I'm getting out. Now, first reports are always wrong, usually, or at least not exactly accurate. So I'm going to be, we're caveating that. But I'm getting this right now that that's what happened in the courtroom down there. And Sherry DeVale wants to call in. And so I'm trying to get, let me see if I can patch this in right now, kind of in a different fashion, see if we can get her on the line and find out exactly what happened from the ground down there. Unreal, if that's the case. So this is the report that I'm getting, is that the judge has detained the Bundys for continued trial in Nevada, and that, my goodness, and that they tackled and tased with eight marshals when there was an argument that the judge didn't have the jurisdiction to hold them. And he's right. Unbelievable. In America, this is happening real time right now. So I want to highlight a couple things also that are going on in the Western United States. And the first is that we have this entire... Sherry, are you there? I'm on the radio live right now.
Yes, I'm here.
All right. And it's probably going to be really not the best... I'm kind of patching this in piecemeal, but we have this... You know, I was just talking about, in the Western United States, we have very clear water law, very clear land law that just seems to not be followed by a lot of these judges at the federal level. And I just reported over the radio that all seven defendants found not guilty on all charges. Can you tell what the mood of the courtroom was and what happened in the aftermath? I heard somebody got tased.
Yes, I can tell you a little bit about that. I'm still learning about what happened in the aftermath. 12 of 13 charges came back not guilty. The last charge, the jury could not reach a consensus. They are hung on that charge. It is the camera charge against Ryan, as I understand it. Everybody's celebrating here. It's just kind of gone a little bit crazy. But what happened... David Fry is being let out as we speak. Ammon and Ryan, since they have charges against them in Nevada, were not to be let loose. But Attorney Mumford pointed out that there has been no paperwork brought here or sent here on Ammon, and he was arguing to let Ammon go today. And that's where the problem started. And apparently there was an argument between him and the judge, and the U.S. Marshals and DHS came in and ended up in a physical altercation with Attorney Mumford, and he ended up getting tased. At this point, that is all I know. Everybody was cleared from the courtroom while this was happening.
That is unbelievable. So the attorney is making a jurisdictional argument that they didn't get their extradition paperwork in on time and proper, which he has a right, not a right, he has a duty to do that as soon as the not guilty verdict came down. He must do that because they should have been freed as soon as that not guilty verdict came down, and yet he ends up being tased and probably handcuffed. Unreal.
Yes, it is. You know, it's kind of blowing my mind. I'm trying to get more details on that because I've never heard of anything like this happening before.
I haven't either, because the jurisdictional conversation must occur when something like this happens, and it's the defense counsel's right to do it because you have speedy trial and all of these other implications, you know, that were, I thought at least, still guilty, or you're still innocent until proven guilty and not guilty until proven innocent.
Well, these defendants have been treated as if they are guilty until proven innocent, and this jurisdictional thing is just upholding that viewpoint. But I'll tell you what, everybody is celebrating. This is a good day for America, a good day for the citizens. It was fast once they got the alternate juror in there, and, you know, it's just clear as day for everybody.
All right.
We are praising God up here.
Praise God indeed. This is absolutely incredible. So if you could, let's walk through some of the details real quick. There's the one charge the jury was hung on, and if you can, describe the charge in a little bit more detail that the jury was hung on and who was implicated by that charge.
It is the charge of theft against Ryan Bundy for the cameras, the surveillance cameras that LaVoy and took down, and there was a group of people there, including Ryan, and they charged him basically as aiding and abetting that theft. That is the one charge that the jury is hung on.
Wow.
Sounds of the shofar.
Yeah, that was that's a shofar. I love it. I love it. Praise God.
Yes. He was just there observing the cameras coming down, and they did offer them back to the FBI, asked them to come take custody of them. They were never damaged. The FBI refused to come take custody of them and called it theft. That is the one charge they jury could not agree on. Now they'll have to decide whether or not to go back and retry that charge.
Oh, I mean, my goodness. I mean, if they're going to try on a theft charge where there was no intent, where they literally had the intent to hand the equipment over to them, I mean, that's all they have left? Praise God.
That's it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's it. Praise God. The theft charge of the vehicle against Ken Madenbach has been found not guilty. All of the conspiracy charges have been found not guilty. If they are not guilty of count one of conspiracy, they cannot be found guilty of count two on the firearms charges. That was in the jury instructions.
Wow, praise God. Okay, so they're going to hold Ryan and Ammon Bundy for the trial in Nevada, at least. Are the rest of the defendants going to be let out, or how is that going to work right now, or do you know?
There were only three left incarcerated. David Fry was the third one incarcerated, and he is being released as we speak. The rest of the defendants are out here celebrating with everyone else.
Praise God. Hey, send them our best. Send them our love from Patriot Radio and everybody as part of the Coalition of Western States. And I'm just praise God for those very brave men that stood on the line and now have been vindicated. Just an amazing, amazing victory.
Absolutely. And we are so glad that you are a part of this and sharing the good news.
Well, Sherry, thank you very much. And you're going to have more, I presume, about this on Readout News here this evening as well.
Absolutely.
All right. Sherry, in just real quick at the end, is so Ammon and Ryan are still in jail right now. Are their attorneys having discussions about bringing forward a civil suit in regards to deprivation of constitutional rights on this issue? Have they even begun discussions on that?
I have not heard any discussions on that. That doesn't mean it's not happening, but it has not been brought up here to anybody that I know of.
All right. You're doing awesome down there, Sherry. And if something else changes or you get some more information, please feel free to give me a call. We'll try to get you back on by the end of the show. And God bless you. God bless everybody down there. And wow, what a great day for freedom and liberty.
Yes, it is. Praise God. Thank you, Matt.
All right. Take care. Sherry DeVale, Readout News, live from Oregon at the Mahler trial. All seven defendants found not guilty on all charges except one, and that was the camera charge, which I thought was the most, I thought that was kind of the most bogus one. That was where there were some surveillance cameras that had been set up to spy on these guys, so they took the cameras down, they collected them up, didn't damage them, and then tried to hand them over to the FBI, and the FBI said, no, we're not going to take them, we're going to charge you with theft. I mean, that's a kind of ridiculous garbage. I mean, that should be embarrassing to the entire agency. My goodness gracious. That's the kind of ridiculous garbage that is happening across this country with these bureaucrats that are completely out of control. And when we have all of this documented, well-established terrorist threat inside the United States from the Muslim Brotherhood, and we are not, and they're U.S.-based organizations, and we're not doing anything really about it. And here you have 15 paid informants, not counting the FBI undercover agents that were there. These are paid informants. One lady was testifying that she was getting paid like $100 a meeting to go attend meetings. You're talking about thousands of dollars paid out to these people. And there are 15 informants and only 7 defendants. No wonder they came back not guilty on the conspiracy stuff. How can you have a conspiracy when everybody else is being paid by the government? Unreal. And one of the more interesting parts about this, too, is that, mark my words, okay, the left is going to claim, that this is a horrific abuse of the justice system. They'll probably call for reforms on juries. But this is why the jury system was set up by our founding fathers the way it was. It was set up so that a jury of your peers could still mete out justice despite anything else. And everything else that the system was doing to you or throwing at you. I am just, this is why we have a jury system. And the fact that the jury found these defendants, all 7 of them, not guilty on all charges, but the one, which is, I think, again, one of the most bogus things. You try to give property to somebody and they say no and charge you with theft. I mean, imagine that if somebody went into a grocery store, right? And there's something there, a secret camera on the wall. They take the secret camera down, right? And they go and hand it to the manager. The manager says, no, I'm going to charge you with theft. I mean, come on. That's all they got left. And the fact that this judge apparently arguing with an attorney over the jurisdiction and then... And this attorney's doing his job. I mean, they were just found not guilty. As soon as you're found not guilty, you should be immediately released. I mean, these guys have been languishing in prison for months. Should have been immediately released. They don't have the extradition paperwork properly done or even turned in. And the attorney says, you don't have any jurisdiction. And he's right. If the paperwork's not there, there is no... It's called... There's 3 kinds of jurisdiction. In rem jurisdiction, which is over property. Subject matter jurisdiction, which is obviously over the topic. And then personal jurisdiction over the person themselves. There was no personal jurisdiction to detain them. They were found not guilty. That judge, honestly, Anna Brown, needs to be impeached. I mean, that is unreal. And then the attorney's doing his job. He's arguing on the jurisdiction. And now we have it confirmed that he was tackled by 8 to 12 marshals and tased. The attorney. What are they going to say? The attorney was not doing his job? I mean, when you tackle and tase an attorney for doing his job in a courtroom after you just lost. I mean, you being the government just lost. I mean, doesn't that just, again, erode the trust in the system? I mean, who else is supposed to speak out for these guys? Who else is supposed to talk about the jurisdictional problems of detaining Ryan and Ammon? That is unbelievable to me. Wow. I'm sure right now in the halls of power and the powers that be, there are some briefings happening real time. But I want to highlight the fact that as Americans, if you are ever being on a jury, is a very awesome responsibility. And a lot of times I think we treat it as just an impediment to our job, or maybe it's taking money away from us. And to a great extent, it is taking money away from us. But it is an awesome responsibility, and it's something that can have a profound impact in changing the direction of the country. Because now the people that have stood up against the BLM, have stood up against this administration and the tyranny that they have tried to impose here in the West and the war on rural America and this idea of rural cleansing were found not guilty by their peers for doing just that, standing up against them. And that has just changed the direction of the country. You know, down at the Bundy Ranch in Nevada, it ended up that the Bundys were vindicated both legally, but also, I think, from a moral standpoint, standing against tyranny and standing against this idea of First Amendment zones. Standing against the seizure of cattle and the killing of cattle against even violating the court order. And the treatment of regular Americans by unaccountable bureaucrats who seem to be above the law. I just say no more. And folks, this is the power of people that believe in freedom and liberty coming together and saying no, not here, not in our area. You know, we had this incident over in Peace River, Idaho, where we had the Veterans Administration try to come take a veteran's firearms. And you had 100 people show up at a moment's notice on this guy's front lawn to greet the service officer that showed up there. And suddenly the next day, the VA completely backs down. And there's an important point here. We cannot just stand up when they come to take our stuff or when they come to challenge our constitutionally protected rights. We need to stand up when they come to challenge and take our neighbors' constitutionally protected rights and stuff. That's when we need to stand up. And I'm just absolutely amazed right now. I'm just amazed because the deck was stacked against these guys from the beginning. A lot of evidence was intentionally not allowed in by this judge that was exculpatory, and exculpatory is just a fancy word for saying it would have benefited the defense and potentially proved their innocence. But these jurors saw through that. They saw through that, and they found all 7 of them not guilty on all counts. And we're still getting confirmation that indeed the attorney Mumford was indeed tased. And was apparently detained as of right now. I don't have any more information on that. It's literally coming in. But folks, remember this day. And it broke right on Patriot Radio. Praise God for that as well, that we could get it out in real time to the widest audience possible. But we really need now to take a deep breath and ask ourselves this question. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to sacrifice in defense of freedom and liberty and to pass on that freedom and liberty to our kids and our grandkids so they can live in peace and prosperity and freedom? What are we willing to do? What are we willing to sacrifice? And right now, all we're really being asked to sacrifice is to vote. We have the ballots out in the mail here in Washington. So those of you listening from Idaho, you got the election coming up. And there is going to be a election recommendations for Idaho on Radio Free Readout's website, Radio Free Readout, with John Jacob Schmidt. That is going to be posted here in the next couple of days. But all we have to do is vote to ensure at least a chance at restoring a God-honoring constitutional republic and leaving our kids and our grandkids with peace and prosperity and freedom. That's not much of a sacrifice. These guys, these 7 defendants who were found not guilty on all charges except the one. These guys literally laid it all on the line and sat in prison for it. Now, are we going to be willing to stand up against these unaccountable bureaucrats, especially in organizations like the BLM and Forest Service, who were referred by a judge in Nevada, Judge Robert C. Jones, for extortion, racketeering, and mail fraud charges in the Wayne Hage case? Are we going to stand up and say, no, not here? And for those pastors and elected officials out there that are listening right now, are we willing to do that at the city level at the county level and say, no, this isn't going to happen here. We're going to push back these unconstitutional federal overreaches and encroachments that are destroying our ability to produce wealth in our farms, in our forests, on our ranches, in our businesses. No, we're not going to do it anymore. Government is not above the law. These bureaucrats don't make law. Congress does. Our state legislatures do. We're going to stand up and say, no, not anymore. And so, as I wind this to a close, as this election happens, if Hillary Clinton is elected, this doesn't change the calculus for us at the local level. Are we going to stand up to gun control? Are we going to stand up to the attempt to rob us of our water rights? Are we going to stand up and be Americans again? And that brings me now to the final minute, which I'm dedicating again to preparedness. I talked about the four S's: get in shape, learn how to shoot, learn self-defense, learn how to operate as a small group again. You know, that idea of the small 10-family home church that meets together, gets to know each other. Also talked about food, talked about water and the Berkey. That's B-E-R-K-E-Y. Not Berkeley, but Berkey filter for water. It kind of filters in mass amounts. I also talked about medical supplies, and now I'm going to talk about communications really quick. If you do not have your ham license, you really should have your ham license. And people always ask, what is the best radio out there? Well, Baofeng radios, or Baofeng, depending on how you want to pronounce it, are pretty good. You can get them for really cheap, $32 for the 4-watt, $64 for the 8-watt. A great radio to be able to use in an emergency. But make sure you get your ham license, because if you can't communicate, you can't help your neighbor. Well, this is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. And truly, today is a great day for freedom and liberty. May God bless all of you, and this generation, the greatest one.